Chris Johnson is. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet in Helsinki. Chris, thanks so much for joining Richard and myself. Interesting article you have up on, or that's up on sportsnet.ca right now. William Nylander with some advice, I would say, for Mitch Marner about, I don't know if I'd call it advice, but some thoughts about the dangers, the cost of holding out, and how you, you know, how you have to go about sort of adjusting things accordingly. Do you think Mitch is at the point where he would pay attention to that? Or do you think Mitch understands exactly what's going on here and understand and probably has an idea of how this is going to play out eventually?
Yeah, you know, I have to believe he would, guys, just because, you know, anyone who followed the Toronto Maple Leafs last year and you know, obviously Mitch Marner had a great seat from inside the team's dressing room understands how difficult it was on William Nylander to miss the time he did while he sorted out his own contract uncertainty with the team and the impact it had on a season. I mean, he later went on to say he regretted the way everything played out and that more or less said William Nylander at the end of last year that he wishes it hadn't happened that way, that he felt it was a lot, you know, basically a lost year for him from missing time. And you know, based on what I heard from William today, you know, he said that he had sort of tried to stay away from Mitch Marner. You know, he wasn't sending him all this advice or anything, but that Mitch Marner had actually sought some advice from him about a month or so ago. And that's when he kind of just advised them that, you know, you got to let the process play out, not stress too much. Obviously, you're going to play somewhere this season, you know, one way or another. You don't know how this is going to end, I think, when you're in the player's shoes, because, you know, they're obviously involved with their agents, but they're not in every discussion. You know, I don't believe these guys are getting sort of daily updates on every phone call that occurs. And so, you know, it's uncertainty. You know, we have to remember they're young men and haven't, you know, in most cases gone through anything like this. I mean, entry-level contracts, the first deal players sign in the NHL are pretty straightforward because they're heavily regulated and the bonuses structure is all kind of paint by numbers. But, you know, it gets a little different when you're signing the kind of deals that Mitch Marner is ultimately going to sign. And so, you know, I thought it's interesting that you phoned William Nylander to ask about that. And, you know, Nylander has not been shy in terms of talking about his own situation, about the toll everything took on him and the role it played in what was a disappointing season last year for him personally.
Okay, well, this whole summer in Toronto has been about reading the tea leaves when it comes to Mitch Marner. And unfortunately, Chris, there aren't a whole hell of a lot of tea leaves out there. But my question to you is, the fact that Mitch would call William Nylander, is that a positive? Is that a negative? Or is it just two young teammates chatting?
Well, I almost think it's common sense. You know, I've done a couple of my own contracts. It's obviously very different than the circumstances here. And you try to get as much information as you can from people that you trust and people that have been through something similar. And you know, I don't think it's unreasonable. And you know, I would expect that all these other unsigned restricted free agents have talked to, you know, some of their friends that have been through it. You know, I think even as late as this is in the game, in a sense, you know, because it is mid-August and there really isn't any signs that this is about to be resolved. You know, I still think it's almost premature to say how it's going to play out. You know, clearly, because of what I mentioned earlier with Nylander, and I think what the stakes of what this season means to the Leafs, you know, I don't think the organization has any desire to engage in a battle that goes, you know, right to that December 1st deadline the way they did with Nylander. I have to believe as we get closer to some of the key dates, whether it's the start of training camp or you know, maybe the first set of exhibition games or even somewhere near the start of the regular season, you know, that there'll be a concerted effort on both sides to see if they can bridge the gap that exists between them. And you know, honestly, based on what I've heard most recently, I don't know the gap is all that huge. I think that there's still a fair bit of debate between the term of what this deal will be, between the Leafs and Marner's camp. And, you know, obviously the money is a key aspect, but, you know, I do think the Leafs have stepped up their offers to, or at least their willingness to sign him to, you know, a contract that isn't all that far off what I believe, you know, the player and his agent are looking for. I mean, you know, clearly that deal's not done yet. They haven't reached the point or they would, I think, happily sign and put this behind them. But, you know, I don't know that we really can handicap what's going to happen because, you know, training camp doesn't really get going to September 11th, September 12th. I think once we get into that month, there'll be a little more urgency, you know, with the number of restricted free agents league-wide. And I have to believe that everyone involved in this, while they might have some differences on where they see this deal going, understands that there's going to be a potentially heavy cost to pay by having it drag on too long.
Chris, one of the things that's very clear from reading your piece is William Nylander is a very, very confident guy this year and understands how important a year this is in terms of putting up production. From your conversations with him, did you read that same kind of, I don't want to call it swagger, but I would certainly call it confidence?
I'll call it swagger. You know, that's okay. How it came across in the room today. You know, I shouldn't say surprised by it. I mean, obviously, this guy has been a heavily talented player. You know, he's a top 10 draft pick in the NHL. His father had a long and successful career. He basically grew up in NHL dressing rooms. You know, he's living the life that he expected to live. And so, you know, you don't do all that without having, you know, a healthy amount of self-confidence and belief in yourself. But, you know, when last I saw him, I didn't see any of that. You know, I can tell you when the Leafs did their locker cleanout 2 days after Game 7, back on April 25th, it was the most disappointed, beaten down, however you want to call it, William Nylander, very, very candid, I would say unusually so, with his comments to reporters about the way the season unfolded, his own disappointment in his play and everything that happened with the contract and just how it you know, essentially sabotaged his year. And you know, I guess this is the beauty of sport. You know, it's truly a clean slate at this point. He's had a couple months to recharge the batteries, so to speak. He's had a much more normal summer this year with no uncertainty. And you know, he told me he spent about 10 days in Toronto, went to Zach Hyman's wedding. And otherwise has basically been in Europe, a couple small trips, but in Sweden training. And I think he understands that he has, you know, something to prove. You know, he's got to live up to the contract he signed, the one that he was willing to you know, really battle right to the final minutes. You know, he risked potentially not even being able to play in the NHL at all last year for the deal he got. And he knows that, you know, when you look at all the departures from the Leafs, you know, it's been a pretty busy offseason. I think that it had to be done, you know, to make everything work cap-wise. It had to be done to protect Mitch Marner. You know, they've made some trades to reallocate, you know, the things they do, bring in Tyson Berry, for example, on their blue line, and we expect letting Jake Gardner walk away in free agency. So, you know, this team has been changed a lot, and you know, when you look at the net result of that, is that it is much more, you know, Austin Matthews' team, Mitch Marner's team, William Nylander's team. The young guys aren't so young anymore, and I think that they understand, either through implicit conversations with the coaching staff and management, or just their own able to figure out things. You know, when you start earning the contracts they're earning, that they're going to be relied upon in a way they weren't in the past. And so you add that all together, and this is a huge season for William Nylander. And you know, I got the impression that, at least from a mindset standpoint, you know, he's entering it not shying away from the fact that it carries some serious consequences and pressure, frankly. You know, on his shoulders as he enters this year.
Chris, did William give you any specifics about what he did training-wise?
Not really. You know, he sort of said, you know, normal stuff that guys do. He didn't, I don't get the sense he did anything unusual. But, you know, I do believe that, you know, what he did give me is more of a window into why last summer was a mess for him. You know, he kind of revisited just sort of the peaks and valleys of dealing with negotiations, you know, at the same time as trying to get ready for the year. And, you know, obviously he ended up having to work out on his own and skate on his own, you know, for a couple months before he ever, you know, came to Toronto and started playing NHL games. And so, you know, I got the sense that, well, it's not as though he wasn't in shape last year. Just all of that, you know, kind of came together to, you know, give him challenges that he's never faced before. And, you know, this is a little bit more back to the normal routine. You know, he's telling me he was skating a fair bit with Rasmus Sandin, the Leafs' first-round draft pick from a couple years ago. You know, a guy I'm not sure will probably play too many games in the NHL this year, although some of that, you know, could depend on injuries and the like and what we see from training camp. But, you know, he did say that he's been on the ice a lot this summer, doing a lot of skills work, and obviously his work in the gym and you know, he's always been a very well-conditioned player. So I got the sense that last year there was a lot of burden on him that's been lifted this year. And you know, perhaps that's why it sort of shone through with the confidence. I mean, I didn't lead him there. He said a number of times, I'm ready to be dominant. That's his mindset. He spoke with Mike Babcock last week, and he said they kind of went over that, what the coach expects from him, and that they're on the same page with where he's at in his career. And he just feels as though it's his time to take another step in terms of his performance.
CJ, good stuff, man. Travel safely. Enjoy Helsinki.
All right, guys. Tough job, but someone's got to do it.
I know. And take care. And thanks for doing it. Thanks for soldiering on.
Okay.
Take care. That's Chris Johnson in Helsinki.